Welcome back to SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell. The conversation continues with Freddie Coleman of ESPN, breaking down the Rio Olympics. So, Freddie Coleman, what are your thoughts on this whole Ryan Lochte and Brazilian robbery story? I mean, what a strange story, and how bizarre is this?
When does the 30 for 30 start with this? That's what I want to know. I mean, I can imagine the whole narrative. Remember when a robbery was supposed to have happened, mm-hmm. but then swimmers were detained at the airport, and the guy that said the story left the country and didn't want to come back? That's the ultimate reality show. I mean, how do we go from Ryan Lochte saying that he and three of his fellow swimmers were out hanging out, and then a police car pulled them over, but it wasn't the police? They were robbed at gunpoint. He even told Billy Bush of the Today Show that a gun was pointed at his head, and everybody's thankful that nobody really got seriously injured or got killed. And not even 5 days later, three swimmers are detained. Two are pulled off the airplane as they're trying to leave. Ryan Lochte had already gone. Then he tells Matt Lauer of the Today Show, the robbery did happen, but maybe, just maybe, the gun was not pointed at my head. I'm thinking, okay, you could not even make this up if you were writing for the Kardashians. And so I don't know exactly where the truth begins. I will say this. That story seems a lot more flimsy because we continue to find out information, and it continues to be a bad optic when it comes to Ryan Lochte. And I'm thinking, okay, you could not have needed the attention that much to put that kind of story out there. I'm hoping this is not a case of Manti Te'o, another version of catfish, when it comes this time to Ryan Lochte, because the more and more we hear, and I know if I'm in that situation and they pull me off a plane and they tell me, we're not going to let you go until you tell us exactly what happened, I am not falling on my sword for Ryan Lochte. So whatever happened that night, if it turned out that you're going to have to go counter to what he said with the story he put out there, you better do that, because it is not worth being detained in a different country just to fall on the sword for somebody else. I can't believe how strange this story continues to evolve, where 1 minute we thought about one thing, and then the more and more we hear about it, the less likely it seems that actually happened that night, that early Sunday morning, to Ryan Lochte and those three swimmers.
It is definitely a PR nightmare. So what's the motivation? I mean, why would they make this up?
Boy, that's a great question, because you know the old line is, the people are capable of anything. Allen Iverson said it best, Hall of Fame basketball player. He said, you never know people until you actually are around them. What's on the surface may not be exactly what that person is. And I'm not trying to cast aspersions against Ryan Lochte. I don't want to do that based on what seems to be a flimsy story that he involved himself in and involved us in. But I tell you what, whatever people thought about Ryan Lochte, I can guarantee you there are plenty of people thinking, I wonder why he would do that, because what is the end game and how is that end game going to work out for you? Because usually, anytime you try to hide stuff, when it comes to light, it just looks so much worse for you.
I think back, I know it's Friday night, Freddie, but what on Wednesday night, USA-Argentina, the matchup, we witnessed a lot of great things, defense, ball movement. But I also think about at the end of that game, it was the end of an era with Argentina's Manu Ginobili. And I have to tell you, it was very tough to watch his postgame interview after that loss to USA. It was just, just so many emotions. And what a legacy, and he is a future Hall of Famer.
He's going to be a Hall of Famer. There's no doubt about that. And I remember I said that about 3 years ago. It must be nice to be part of the San Antonio Spurs organization to have three potential Hall of Famers, one definite, Tim Duncan, and two, Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili. And how weird is it that all three of those guys are leaving their respective teams at the end of their careers? Tim Duncan retired from the San Antonio Spurs. Tony Parker said he's not going to play international basketball representing France. And then seeing Manu Ginobili, who, let's be honest, he put Argentine basketball on the map, because they were just a team that people talked about. But when they won that gold medal in 2004, and he was at the forefront of that, he became a national hero. There's so many young men and young women in that country that look at him as a pioneer, that they look at him the same way we looked at Dr. James A. Naismith, what he did bringing basketball to the United States, born in Canada. There's so many layers to what he was able to do, putting Argentine basketball on the map, that I don't think we can even begin to comprehend that. And I guarantee you, he wasn't thinking about that. He was thinking about the fact that he was so proud to represent his country. He was so proud to play for his country. He always wore the Argentine banner on his sleeve. He didn't let anybody not have any doubt about that. So I can't even imagine that you've done this ever since you were a teenager. You never thought that you would be able to get to a level like this. I'm not talking about the NBA. I'm talking about representing your country and winning a gold medal. I can't even imagine the kind of emotions that were flowing through his mind, knowing that, hey, I was able to set a trend. but it's going to be really, really sad that I won't be able to do this anymore, because being a proud native of Argentina means so much to Manu Ginobili.
Only got time for probably about one more question. Freddie, give us your thought or just your assessments on Team USA. Why do you think that they have struggled so much early in the competition? Because, you know, leading into the Olympics, everyone was talking about how Team USA, men's basketball, that they were going to dominate their opponents.
Well, I think the main reason for me is the fact that they didn't have tougher scrimmages before they played in the Olympics, because when you're playing people that I looked at and said, boy, these guys would last 5 seconds in the ESPN Intramural League. How's that helping the United States basketball team to get ready, especially when they didn't have a lot of time together in those scrimmages, in those practices before they got to the scrimmages? People talked about, well, they should have had more time together. That would have been hard to do when four of your main players, or at least three of them, Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant, and Kyrie Irving, were playing deep into June with their playoff teams and their respective playoff runs. So it's kind of hard to build that continuity over less than a month, even less than 3 weeks, and hope that's going to work. That's number one. So when you're, if you're going to have that, you need to have tougher scrimmages. I would have found the toughest teams out there and said, hey, Spain, do you want to scrimmage against us? Hey, Australia, do you want to scrimmage against us? Those teams would not have turned down the opportunity to play against USA basketball and gauge themselves. So hopefully USA basketball has learned their lesson from that standpoint of, yeah, it's nice to get guys out there to play, but let's put them in real-life game situations. This way, when it happens, we won't have to worry about what to do. We'll know what to do. That being said, if we see them play to the level we saw the first two games in the Olympics, no one can beat them when they play at that level. But the world has gotten better at basketball. They're not as afraid of the United States teams and their talent level because they've seen it. So that is something that has to be a concern if you're USA basketball going forward. Make sure they're toughened up mentally and physically. This way, these kind of things don't happen, and people aren't doing the sky's falling routine when it comes to the struggles of USA basketball.
Always a true pleasure to catch up with Freddie Coleman from ESPN. Check him out, The Freddie Coleman Show. And a big thanks to all of our guests for joining us tonight over the past 2 hours. We'll see you next weekend for the biggest, the best in sports at all new SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show.